We have on a once a month basis where we bring our families together within that programming. And on Saturdays, they go to a 4 or 5 hour engagement. And sometimes they're going to Mopop. Sometimes they're going to the Family Fun Center. Sometimes they're going to a pumpkin patch, right? But they're bringing in those also cultural pieces to bridge the spaces that they're in. And it's one of the most powerful spaces. Mm-hmm.
This is Hourglass, the podcast for United Way of King County in Seattle. Coming up, Nicole Barker of Open Doors for Multicultural Families, a Kent-based organization that envisions a world where individuals with intellectual or developmental disabilities and their families thrive in an inclusive society of their design. United Way of King County proudly supports Open Doors for Multicultural Families and how it spends its time supporting communities through programs, training, and advocacy. I'm your host, Joe Burris. Thanks for tuning in. The Latin phrase nihil nobis, sine nobis, means nothing about us without us. And it means that no policy should be made without the voices and representation of those affected by that policy. The term has been used for centuries in European politics, but in recent years the phrase has become embodied by groups that are often marginalized from social, political, and economic opportunities, particularly people of color and those with intellectual or developmental disabilities. Nothing about us without us has also been a part of the self-advocacy movement since the 1950s, and the United Nations used the phrase as its theme for its International Day of Persons with Disabilities in 2004. Locally, disability rights advocates work to ensure that lawmakers embody nothing about us without us. And before some disability rights advocates testify at the State House in Olympia, they receive training from Open Doors for Multicultural Families. Open Doors was founded in 2009 by its executive director, Ginger Kwan, and a dedicated group of parents and community leaders who saw multicultural families needing access to services that allow their children with disabilities to live a quality life. Open Doors connects people with services, provides specialized programming, and advocates for systems change. In 2022 alone, Open Doors served more than 2,500 individuals, most of whom lived in South Seattle and South King County. Nicole Barker, Open Doors Director for Youth Programs, says that Kwan began the organization by working with volunteers who were parents of children with intellectual and developmental disabilities.
And that has been where Open Doors really has its richness in cultural brokerage, is that our employees, the majority of our employees, are also parents and also are coming from the same cultural background and languages of the families that we are serving. And so we are really rooted in a method of cultural brokerage to be able to bridge those gaps that we have within our systematic entities in which our families and ourselves have to navigate in trying to leverage opportunities and get the resources needed for their family members or even themselves.
Now, what are some of those resources that they need that you feel like that they're not getting, which would precipitate an Open Doors?
Yeah. So one of the biggest barriers is just access due to language barriers and being able to have assessments in their own languages, being able to have interpretation of their IEPs and understanding what is happening within the IEP and understanding the nuances of the IEP, which also in, I believe it was in 2019, we actually just passed a bill and helped pass a bill where their IEPs must be able to be translated within the individual's native language in order to be able to create equity and understanding of what is being said in that IEP, and also advocacy so that the parents voices, and students' voices are also leveraged and lifted. Also, just community resources of system navigation, such as the healthcare, and just being able to get even AAC devices. Currently, right now, we have a project going of AAC devices that are not accessible to the individual because we don't have AAC devices that are in their native language. Therefore, the parents don't know how to use it. So immediately when the students go out of the school system, then the device becomes unable to be accessible to new apps as they grow into young adults, be accessible to just continuing on with the growth of the individual because nobody has the knowledge of what the device can and cannot do, as examples.
And so now just for your audience's sake, I know individualized education program, right? That's
IEPs, yes, yeah.
And so that's basically an education curriculum that's tailored to that particular individual.
It's actually a legal document. And the IEP is a legal document created by federal law. And within federal law, each state then also interprets that federal law and then it becomes state law. And so with that IEP, it is just a document. And so the services that are written in the document, the resources that are written in that document, accommodations, modifications, the goals are only as good as the team that is around it. And if you do not have a strong team, if the understanding and chairs that are pulled up to the table are not equal in their voices, then the document is not strong for the individual to best serve them. And so what Open Doors does is being able to, again, provide that bridge in order to strengthen that IEP document in order to deliver the services and create a bridge between also the amazing educators that are trying to also support the family and the individual and working together, working in parallel together in order to support this community.
And so now what is an AAC? That's one I have.
Yeah. It's an adaptive device. It's an adaptive communication device. It stands for Adaptive Alternative Communication Device. Mm-hmm. And what it does is individuals who struggle with communication and need support within their communication, this device leverages a resource in order to be able to communicate and have ability to communicate with the community and gain access. And so it's very, very powerful for a fulfilled life and to be able to have their voice heard.
Now, what are the languages that you serve in Open Doors?
Yeah, that's a great question. So Open Doors serves around 23 different languages. Yeah, it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Right now, though, the main languages are around Somali, Spanish, Tagalog, we do have Vietnamese, Mandarin, Cantonese are, I think, like the main languages. And forgive me because I will probably be missing some of those. Within those 23 different languages, those are housed within our staff who majority of them are also parents. Parents who have children who have an intellectual or developmental disability.
Oh, okay. How do they hear about it? How do you reach out to them and do they reach out to you?
That's a great question. And also just like, it's not only parents, but also siblings or family members that have. So how people get to be able to reach out to us and get connected with us. That is a continued relationship and just also efforts to reach out for communities. Right now, we are growing a relationship with Seattle Public Schools in order to get that going and so that resource can become available in that network. Honestly, communities are amazing, right? And the collective piece of communities is so powerful. And so a lot of the times it's through the community themselves that are also helping and supporting each other that say, hey, go to Open Doors. And so that is probably one of the most powerful.
Okay. And yeah. You're working right now with the Seattle Public School. And I imagine with a lot of other public school systems in the area. How helpful are they And is there any kind of hindrance? Is there any kind of roadblocks in working with the public schools to try to get a lot of this stuff implemented?
You know, I will say that, like, the public schools are within the system themselves, right? And so they are having to abide by a system governed by a network that's above them. Teachers are governed by the principals. Principals are governed by their own program specialists or program supporters, and so on until you get to the directors and superintendent. And then the superintendent's governed by the governor. And so I think that within that system, you know, there are amazing educators and just really hard work. And I think that the partnership and piece is that you find also the community system that they are also wanting to do, but it's about capacity, right? It's about capacity and being able to have enough capacity also to leverage partnerships, keep those going, keep those consistent. So one of the things that Seattle Public Schools has done a really great job of is also investing in community partnerships. So they have a director in community partnerships. And so we are trying to, you know, leverage in within that system that they have, and also within creating communication and helping and supporting. Because what is really hard is that we are needing communication from the school districts, but not always do the teachers have time to be able to do the communication with the parents, do the communication with the teachers, do all the communication, and also have this responsibility of keeping up this communication with this great partnership and community, right? But it's it can be a lot. It can be a lot. And so I think that where we are continuing to explore, honestly, is how to bring in community partnerships and be a partner for the educators that are within the schools, that we are moving together and we can lift together without putting more weight on what they're doing. And so how can we create that collaboration? And so our partnership right now with Seattle Public Schools is not a large one. We're actually starting off pretty small, hoping for some professional developments, also getting some referrals in for kids. But, you know, I think that where we are trying to re-envision with Open Doors is really also trying to understand what are the impacts on the system and what are the impacts of possibly why resources are not getting to the families, to the kids, and moving together. I think that as we are really trying to create partnerships, it's also asking the question of what are these barriers in order to be able to move together and not be able to be conflicting. Because sometimes when you have outside partnerships with schools and they're outside of the schools, they can be conflicting. They can be, you know, where you're at odds with each other. And sometimes that is needed, and like where advocacy is coming in and being able, but also ultimately being able to find a place where you are moving together in a way that support is being given to the individual and resources are being given to the individual in which they need.
There's one program that like organizations like you are doing with United Way, the Racial Equity Coalition through Love and Liberation, and now you're trying to make sure that so many of the communities that you serve have children who are given a curriculum that is actually created by community organizations that speaks to their heritage, that speaks to their own history, their own lineage, their own culture, and their own community. How is that going?
Awesome. Yeah. Let's see. We have a couple of things to highlight. Well, one, I can start with our direct like programmatic and engagement, which is called Hope and Kickstart from Love and Liberation. And that is a transition program that goes from 14 into 24. And we directly support with the transition programming that are within the IEP. So when you turn 15 and 16 in your IEP, you have to legally have what's called an individual transition plan. And that supports you of what resources and that you will need going into adulthood? What skill sets do you need going into adulthood, like life skills, workability skills, transportation skills, right? And also your identity, just development in yourself and an awareness of yourself and knowing your strengths. And so within that transition plan, we help and support within that IEP, but also within the actual activities and engagement to develop those skills. And our staff range from but are a mirror of different backgrounds. And so within our curriculum, our staff are creating that curriculum, our transition programming for our students. And one of the most powerful pieces, there's multiple elements of that. We have a mentoring program, which individualizes to the students and what their academic or life skill needs are. And so that is a mentoring program that is directly individualized. And then there's a full group programming. And then we have on a once a month basis where we bring our families together within that programming. And on Saturdays, they go to a 4 or 5 hour engagement. And sometimes they're going to MOPOP. Sometimes they're going to the Family Fun Center. Sometimes they're going to a pumpkin patch, right? But they're bringing in those also cultural pieces to bridge the spaces that they're in. And it's one of the most powerful spaces, because we're also integrating their family members, and they can bring however many family members they want. And so it's pretty cool. We also have a self-advocate, curriculum that our advocacy, department has created. It was developed out of self-advocates themselves that and out of our programming and their parents in that curriculum, and now is currently being vetted in multiple languages, who are also from that same background. And so we are actually getting that refined and ready to go to be able to offer and distribute in development for self-advocacy curriculum and family advocacy curriculum.
What is the region that you serve?
Yeah, so currently we're located in Kent, and we have a small office there. We have a project within the next 4 or 5 years, which is called the Multicultural Village, mm-hmm. Which has, in partnership with Mercy Housing, amongst other community organizations, that we will have housing in 20% of that will be for individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities and their families. Okay. It's right next to the Highline College and railway station. And within there, our engagement will be held. There will be an early learning center and also other community independent organizations to support their businesses. And so that is where we're going. But currently we are in Kent, in a smaller office. And we are and will be in Pierce County here in the very near future.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just two more questions. How did you get involved in this work? Tell me a little bit about your background.
Yeah. So I have been around educators my whole life. My mom has been in early learning for her whole life and had her own business in an early learning childcare center. And so I was one of those kids that got up at 5:30 in the morning, was out the door at 6, didn't get home until 6. She was running her own business. And so I've been around it. And so I got my start, though, living abroad. I got the opportunity to live abroad and teach, and I fell in love with teaching. And
where'd you live?
I lived in Korea, Turkey, and Taiwan. I took some time after my undergrad. It was a lot. I owed a lot of money. you know, still paying that off. But I fell in love with teaching, so I was super clear on what I wanted to do. But I also took some time just to be, and travel and also be a part of what was surrounding me, just not be a visitor, but truly be a part of it. And so I also had the opportunities to travel to other countries as well in the surrounding areas and take some time. So when I came back, it was a handful of years later, and I was able to get my dual credential in general ed and special ed. Reason why of special ed, I also had a family member who was impacted by the system who did not get the supports that they need. And it was actually the disability to prison pipeline. And unfortunately, they were not able to win. They did not. I had that fire in my belly and also the impact that it has and still has and ranges on my family. So I went into special education and decided to be dual credentialed. And at that time, it was a choice. I think right now, special educators in some states need to be dual credentialed. But I really fell in love with the teaching. I got really involved in the data part of it and got, you know, being able to develop. I was really fortunate to be able to develop. And then my career kind of just took me. I was an adjunct professor at Loyola Marymount University.
Which Loyola? I'm sorry.
Yeah. So they had a satellite office from LA up into the Bay Area in California. Yeah. And then my journey took me to be the director of special education and student services for a charter network, and then an executive director for a smaller school that supported individuals with high mental health needs.
So,
yeah.
And so lastly, if I were listening to this and I wanted to reach out to Open Doors, how can I do that?
You can go through our website, and all of our contact information is on our website, and also ability to submit a referral to us.
Okay. And so what's the website?
It's www.opendoorswa.org.
Perfect. Perfect. Nicole, thank you so much for this time today. Really appreciate it.
Yes. Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
United Way of King County partners with local organizations to help address food insecurity. Among them, the Highline Area Food Bank, a Burien-based organization dedicated to the gathering and the distribution of food for those in need in the Burien and Greater Highline area. The Highline Area Food Bank distributes food on Tuesdays from noon to 2:30 p.m., on Thursdays from 10 a.m. to 12:30 p.m., and on the second Tuesday of each month from 5:30 p.m. to 7 p.m. For more information, contact HighlineAreaFoodBank.org. And be sure to join our virtual event, Conversations for Change, Housing Stability, on May 29th at 11:45 a.m. We will delve into King County's housing ecosystem and share more about how we're coming together to help people overcome barriers to access and retain housing. For more information, log on to uwkc.org/events. At United Way of King County, we are working side by side with communities to build an equitable future for everyone. Hourglass United Way is a podcast that highlights how we and our partners spend time making a difference in our communities. Our work is made possible by the generous donations from people like you. Please send comments and suggestions about our podcast to hourglassunitedway@gmail.com. To learn more about our work or to support United Way, log on to uwkc.org. I'm your host, Joe Burris. Thanks for listening. Until next time.